We will be continuing with our study of the book of Nehemiah, and we will be examining the next six verses of chapter 1, that is, chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. Let us now proceed to look at these verses. Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. I shall read it for you. Verse 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandedst thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandedst thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus, blessed be your name forever and ever. By our almighty power, you raised up Jesus from the dead. Now he is ascended into heaven, exalted at your right hand in glory and great power, soon to return in the clouds as he promised. O glorious prospect, so that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, transformed. Father Almighty, keep us ever vigilant, watching for the rapture with prayer, and serving you with fervent love. Turn our eyes to your word now, so that we shall not be captivated or ensnared by the vanities of this perishing world. Accept our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week, we saw that Nehemiah heard a report of the broken walls and burned doors in Jerusalem. The destruction was caused by the Jews' enemies, but the Jews were the ones to blame. The walls were an illustration of their broken relationship with God. Upon hearing bad news from Jerusalem, Nehemiah was brokenhearted. One can clearly see his love for God's reputation and for God's people. His weeping displayed strong emotion, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. His mourning demonstrated compassion and empathy. His fasting required personal sacrifice. His praying, however, revealed his heart of trust and confidence in God. As Nehemiah considered the incredible significance of Hanani's report about the conditions in Jerusalem, whereby newly built walls have recently been torn down and newly hung gates had been burned, he channeled his concern into prayer to the Lord. What did he pray? Roman numeral 1. He recognized sin's offensiveness. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4 reads, And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah prayed to his sovereign God and demonstrated spiritual sensitivity. As we will learn in the coming weeks, his normal tendency was to take quick action. Here, he paused in broken dependence upon the Lord. Nehemiah's prayer shows us the incredible importance of having a burden for the work of the Lord if we are to succeed in making an impact for God in the world. Nehemiah sat down and wept because he understood the bad report from Jerusalem signified a sin problem among God's people. God allowed the newly rebuilt walls to be torn down and the gates to be burned because his people needed to seek his forgiveness and ask him for personal restoration. God's covenant relationship with Israel tied their prosperity and safety in the promised land to their obedience to him. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The wall failed because the people failed to obey God. The broken walls and burned gates were physical representations of Israel's broken spiritual relationship with God. God revealed his treatment of his people in the Old Testament law of retribution, a part of the Mosaic covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2 and verses 58 and 63 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." So God promised to bless his people and land if they lived righteously. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 2. If they disobeyed, they will experience God's chastisement. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 58 and 63. Nehemiah mourned or showed regrets for not recognizing and dealing with personal sin sooner, for the bad reputation God endured while his city lay in ruins, for the blessings the Jews lost because of their sin. In this age, we don't have a Mosaic covenant with God tied to our quality of life in a particular piece of land. In fact, we might be living obediently to God and suffer physical or financial problems as a result. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Peter counted such suffering a privilege and a reason to rejoice. That type of suffering is not what the Jews were experiencing. They suffered because they sinned. The seriousness and offensiveness of sin transcends all times. When we know we have sinned, we ought to sit and weep like Nehemiah did. Sin always offends God, and destroys our personal relationship with him, putting a halt to our spiritual growth and effectiveness as servants of God. Sin always robs us of what could have been. No doubt Nehemiah considered the poor testimony of Jerusalem's broken walls and burned gates. The city should have been a beacon of God's greatness. Instead, God's name suffered greatly, while his disobedient people cowered behind their ruins. Israel's enemies laughed at the repatriated Jews and boldly challenged their God while seeming to get away with it. While Nehemiah mourned for a season, he didn't spiral into depression and hopelessness. Refusing to be paralyzed by deep regret, he turned to God, his only hope. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, He acknowledged God's greatness. He acknowledged God's greatness. What the Jews' obedience to God ebbed and flowed, God's greatness remained the same. He doesn't have lapses or bad days. He makes no wrong decisions, nor does he forget to do right. As Nehemiah opened his prayer to God for restoration, he recognized God's faithfulness to his holy, loving character. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 5 reads, and said, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenants and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." What aspects of God's greatness are important for the repentant sinner to remember? God is merciful. He stands ready to forgive. His forgiveness is complete and eternal. The word terrible has the idea of awesome or worthy of respect. Nehemiah stated that God keeps his covenant with his people. The word he used for keep has as its root word that means guard or keep safe. Later, in verse 5, Nehemiah said that God gives mercy and love to those who love God and observe God's commandments. The word for observe comes from the same root word as the word for keep. Nehemiah recognized that God stayed faithful to his promises even though his people abandoned him. Nehemiah also recognized that God's offer of mercy still stood. If God's people turned to him for restoration, God would pour out his mercy into their lives and forgive their sins. By the way, verse 5 is drawn in order from Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 21 and chapter 7 verse 9. Nehemiah recognized sin's offensiveness. He acknowledged God's greatness. Roman numeral 3. He requested God's forgiveness. He requested God's forgiveness. As Nehemiah began to formulate his request to God, he displayed repentance over the sins of the children of Israel. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. He included himself as a sinner in need of forgiveness. He was not self-righteous or haughty. Let us read Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6 in full, which is based on 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 52 and 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 40 and chapter 7 verse 15. "Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned." The Hebrew word for confess means to hold out the hand or to reveal. The opposite idea would be to keep to oneself. Nehemiah essentially held out his sin-stained hands for God to see and cleanse. Of course, trying to hide one's sin from God is ridiculous, for he sees and knows all. Denying our sin is as silly as a child denying that he was digging in his mom's flower garden when his hands and shirt are covered in dirt. But why might we be tempted to think we can hide our sin? We commit in private. We don't seem to experience any consequences from it. Everyone else treats us as if we haven't sinned. Nehemiah understood that God had been terribly offended. He committed himself to praying day and night for the restoration of himself and God's people. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 7 reads, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." Nehemiah confessed that he and the people had not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments that God gave to Moses. These terms are not simply synonyms. The law Moses received from God can be understood in three parts. The moral law, for example, the Ten Commandments. The civil law, that is, domestic regulations. And the ceremonial law, that is, instructions pertaining to the sacrifice, tabernacle, temple, and priesthood. By making this statement, Nehemiah confessed that Israel had violated all three aspects of the law. By confessing his own sins and the sins of Israel on their behalf, Nehemiah was fulfilling the requirement to return unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 2. Yes, God demanded sincere repentance. That was the requirement. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verses 1 to 3 says, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity." That the Jews needed to return to the Lord with all their heart and their soul shows that God demanded sincere repentance. Like Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, Nehemiah prayed for the nation according to passages such as 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, confessing national sins and asking for revival. There is no practice in the New Testament which corresponds to this type of repentant prayer. We may nevertheless learn from Nehemiah's experience and allow his example of fervor, sincerity, and intercession to shape our personal prayer and devotional lives. God still requires us to approach Him with sincerity when asking for His forgiveness of our sins. Nehemiah recognized sin's offensiveness. He acknowledged God's greatness. He requested God's forgiveness. Roman numeral 4. He appealed to God's faithfulness. He appealed to God's faithfulness. Nehemiah knew the law of Moses thoroughly. He knew the passages that taught the retribution principle, namely Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63 to 67. And he also knew the promises of restoration taught in the same Mosaic covenant in chapter 30, verses 1 to 5. This covenant relationship with God provided the basis for his petition. He asked God to honor the promises he made through Moses to restore and bless his people as they returned to him. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 8 reads, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations." As Nehemiah rehearsed God's promises, he pleaded with God to remember the word that he had given his servant Moses. Certainly, God does not forget. Nehemiah meant that he was taking God at his word. He was basing his appeal on God's promise to restore his people to the promised land if they turn from their sins with all their hearts. Moving on, Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 9 reads, "But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." Notice that Nehemiah included that God put Israel and the promised land as a dwelling for God's name. God would always be faithful to his people because his reputation was on the line. God's faithfulness, though, goes both ways. He faithfully drove his people from their land when they disobeyed, and faithfully began to bring them back when they turned to him. God's name was glorified in both cases. God's faithfulness should cause us to both respect him and rejoice in him. He will be faithful to chasten us when we wander from him, and faithful to restore us when we turn to him. See Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 to 11. Were there times when God faithfully drew you back to himself? Were you glad? Recognizing sin's offensiveness, acknowledging God's greatness, requesting God's forgiveness, and appealing to God's faithfulness. Nehemiah urged God to remember his covenant and care for his people, confess the sins of Israel and his own sins, and sought God's forgiveness. We're running out of time, so we'll continue with verses 10 to 11 of chapter 1 next week. What I would like to focus on in conclusion is verse 4. "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah's concern for his people is seen in this verse. As soon as he had heard from his brother Hanani that the Jews were in great affliction and reproach, and that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the city gates burned with fire, Nehemiah sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. My dear friends, are you concerned about your people, your relatives, your friends, your neighbors, your countrymen? Do you fast and pray that they will be saved? We are told that Jonathan Edwards, under whose ministry the Great Awakening occurred in 1734 to 1735, fasted and prayed for 3 days and three nights. Over and over again, he had been saying to God, "Give me New England! Give me New England!" When he arose from his knees and made his way into the pulpit, they say that he looked as if he had been gazing straight into the face of God. They say that before he opened his lips to speak, conviction fell upon his audience. May God grant us that kind of concern for our people. Let us pray.